Well, we've travelled to Castle Milk in the south edge of Glasgow before on this show for artistic reasons. Last time it was to see the contemplative landscape created amidst a play area. Now, well, now we can tell you that the good citizens are cooperating with artists once again. For the past 18 months, locals have worked with Edwina Fitzpatrick, who wanted to breathe new life into their community. Together, they've created a permanent labyrinth to celebrate the links between human life and plant life. It's being run as part of Castle Milk's Reputations programme. That's where artists are commissioned to create contemporary artworks in the public realm. I think that's the same as the previous project we were talking about. This project, which is called The Art of Living, is designed to represent the molecular shape shared by both blood and chlorophyll. Question is, do the locals like it or even get it?
I think the project's really, really good. It's going to bring this community together, and it shows what can be done in such a short time spell. It's going to make this a meeting area for people around about here. Planting project has really, really helped a lot of the younger members of the community get involved.
I think it's nice garden, but there's going to be strawberries.
It just brightens up the whole place because there's nothing really here. The amount of effort we put into it, we worked so hard just the way we wanted it to look, and it's fantastic, really.
It's a communal thing, you know. Kids can be here, grown-ups can be here, so why not?
Why not indeed? Some of Castle Milk locals talking about their participation in The Art of Living at its launch. I think it was late last week. The artist leading the project, Edwina Fitzpatrick's with me. Edwina, this launch took place during Scotland's Biodiversity Week. What exactly can you explain is The Art of Living?
Hi, Claire.
Hi.
The Art of Living, 18-month project that's changed and evolved along the way because it's kind of created through conversation. We started off thinking, well, it might be to do with mortality because the space is between two graveyards, and we ended up with a labyrinth.
Why a labyrinth, not a maze? It's a difference.
A labyrinth is very different from a maze because it is a contemplative path, and it seemed very appropriate because you get lost in woodlands to do somewhere, to create something that you can't get lost in, whereas a maze is something that's tricky and it's got dead ends, and we didn't want to do that.
OK, now you've designed the labyrinth on the classic shape of a seed. Why?
There's all sorts of designs for labyrinths. They've been around for 5,000 years. The Baltic seed design seemed really appropriate. It didn't have any religious connotations to it. But nobody had actually put anything else with it, particularly something that's based on a kind of a molecule that we see under a microscope.
Right. Now, you've been working with the folks from Castle Milk for, as you say, 18 months. It's an area that's long been labelled, I hate this phrase, but it's, you know, the challenging neighbourhood one. What did you make of the community? What did you know about it before you got involved?
I first came up about 5 years ago, and I have to say things have changed a lot in that time. I didn't know very much at all, in truth.
Oh, hello. You still there, Edwina?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you'd disappeared. Goodness. I thought the curse of Castle Milk had struck there. Tell me, were people open to your ideas, this business of plants and human links? Because it is quite radical thinking.
I think it took a bit of persuasion along the way, actually. I think people were very up for something to happen. I guess one of the things that I've borne in mind is one of the first meetings I had with the local residents group, and they said, you've got to involve everybody. If you don't involve the teenagers, it won't work.
Mm. But you got them on board. So tell me how you got them involved. Which sort of tasks did you set them?
Oh, I didn't do that. I mean, one of the problems with the home barrier of Castle Milk is there's no meeting place. Mm. There are no shops up there and what have you. So one of the first things I did was actually created a space where people could come to me, and that was called the Growing Space. And we set that up last Easter. Got absolutely covered in mud, I have to say, in the process. And it was the idea of creating a neutral space where people could do some gardening, so they could hang out and chat. It was safe, it was neutral, it wasn't anybody's patch.
Now, clearly a lot of different strands to a project such as this. You worked alongside a number of experts, you had to, in different fields. I think we're going to hear from a couple of them right now.
My name's Graham Gardner. I'm a vice president of the British Society of Dowsers, and Edwina got me involved in the project to douse the woodland for where the underground water flows were, because she wanted to make a feature with some of the planting. And then we discovered that there was some strange energy happening in here. So I suggested that we need some space that would bring a focus to the area, and suggested a labyrinth. And it'd been a really liked the idea and went off and designed this wonderful space. So later on today, we're going to be doing a little bit of dowsing with the locals just to introduce them to it, and we'll be hopefully getting them to find the water themselves under the labyrinth, find out where it is and where the flows are. And the whole thing when you're finding stuff is to focus on what you're looking for. So we're looking for underground water that's flowing in fissures in the rock, not in pipes or anything like that. So it's really a matter of focusing your mind on what you're looking for. And if I just walk forward slowly, when we get to the water, you see the rods start to cross. So there, we're now standing over it.
Hello, we're going to go for a walk in the woods if anybody wants to join us.
My name is Matthew Finkel, and in this project, I'm project managing it on behalf of Edwina, who's an artist. My full-time job is as project officer for Cass Milk Environment Trust, who've commissioned this piece.
We're going to go for a walk down through the woods. We've been doing environmental improvements in the woods adjacent to the labyrinth for quite a while.
In terms of biodiversity week, I think this project just fits extremely well with it. We're trying to encourage people to actually get involved in their local environment. This project as a labyrinth is an entrance to a woodland which is high in biodiversity value.
The woodlands here are actually, you know, are very healthy in themselves. I mean, one of the major problems here is how people treat the woods, and it's about working with people to try and get them to improve that state.
That was project manager Matthew Finkel and Graham Gardner of the British Dowsing Society. And they were talking about the importance of biodiversity. Edwina, what exactly does biodiversity mean? It's one of those phrases we bandy about. And why are we celebrating it?
Well, the way I understand biodiversity is basically improving the environment to increase both the plant life and all the other things that that support. It's often quite invisible things. It's down to kind of small bugs as well as kind of big deer that go through the woodland.
We also heard a bit there about dowsing, which you use to locate the hidden underground streams running directly beneath this labyrinth of yours. What was the significance of that to the project?
I originally asked Graham to come in because I couldn't understand why the streams through Humbai Woods didn't go where they looked like they should have gone. And I asked him to come in and douse the water, and from that, all this, as he kind of explained, kind of developed from there. And we decided... It was interesting when we were actually trying to find the centre for the labyrinth, because it's got to be on due north, east, southwest, that we could have put it on a ley line, or we could have put it on where two streams intersected. And normally that's actually quite a dangerous point. Graham was saying that that's where stags often fight. So what we've done is kind of covered that up. So the aggressive part of the space is there, but the ley line still, you can walk over it.
And this is located somewhere between, what, a local crematorium and a graveyard?
Yep.
So there's this thing, this mortality and death theme as well.
That's what I started off with. In a sense, I guess what we've ended up working with is energy, actually. The energy of a group of people who live in a place, and the energy that you can maybe create through using kind of age-old techniques like labyrinths.
There is also a special tree at the heart of the Blood Chlorophyll Labyrinth, a Sorbus Embley tree. You're going to have to tell me a little bit about that, because I'm not au fait with trees at all.
The Sorbus Embley, we wanted a tree that was green in summer, that was actually deciduous, but went bright red, blood red, in autumn. And so that's why we chose the Sorbus Embley, that it's part of the kind of... provenance of the area, that I'm not introducing anything weird and new to it, but they're quite rare, so it seemed like a really appropriate tree to put in there.
Now, so many elements to talk about in this project, so we're sort of running out of time, but you know, you're also reintroducing local plants, but what is the lasting legacy you want to leave for future generations? Obviously you've bonded quite a bit with the locals that you were working with. 18 months is quite a long time to be on a project, isn't it?
Indeed. Although I needed that amount of time, I think legacy-wise, the cross-generational meeting point, that labyrinth is owned by everybody. I asked them, Nicole and Rachel in particular, there were two of the young ones that I'd been working with all the way through, and I said, will you look after this place for me? And will your children look after it if they're around here? And they went, yes. I think there's that, a heightened aware of biodiversity, about people have got a woodland on their doorstep now that they can walk through that's not full of tipping. But it's really that gathering space, a a space for conversation.
You've had a good time doing this.
I've had a ball.
Maybe we'll get you back again. Those people are amazing in Castlemont. They're up for anything, absolutely anything. Edwina, thank you so much. And pass on our congratulations to the people of Castlemont. Sounds like a radical project to take part in. Thank you. And the Art of Living, the permanent blood chlorophyll labyrinth, has transformed an area of woodland in Castlemilk. I think you should go and see it sometime if you're ever in the area. By the way, if you're already inspired to help foster the natural world in an urban setting, perhaps where you live, then keep an eye out for the UK-wide BBC Spring Watch Festivals this year. I think they're launching BBC Breathing Spaces with the clarion call to do one thing. If you want more information on that, go to Glasgow's lovely Kelvin Grove Park. I think it's June the 9th. There's a date for that, June the 9th. Be prepared to be entertained while you're there, because CBBC's Raven and CBBC's Nina of Nina and the Neurons, I have no idea who this is, will also be putting an appearance.